in the homegoing of a former president, George H.W. Bush. It blessed my heart to see the granddaughters get up and read the Word of God. They didn't come up with all of their wonderful teddy bear remembrances, which is oftentimes the case, and that's well and good. But when you have raised granddaughters and daughters who understand the importance of the Word of God, and what a sweet service that was to see his granddaughters reading the Bible and to hear them reading the Bible so well, all of them. And they held back all of the wonderful remembrances, the wonderful memories, but the Word of God was paramount. And that certainly glorified God. And it was as they read the Word of God, it was just so powerful, so powerful. Everybody, even my Episcopalian brothers, who are normally not the most fired up, they had some power today when they read the Word of God. And they read it with some fire, with some faith, and with some belief. And so we thank God for the wonderful homegoing of a great man, a man made great by God. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11, I do believe. Paul is writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this entire passage. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word that was read at the funeral of a former president and a former great husband, a former great father, and a former great man, as he is dead now. And I am in heaven with you. Many of us believe if he is there, he's only there because of faith in Christ, not by the good deeds that he did. And we all should be reminded of that. But Lord, I do thank you for what the Episcopal minister said today, that death is not an ending. It just changes life. It's not an ending of life. It changes life. I like that. I like that, Lord. It means a lot. It says a lot. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for allowing us to live in a country, even though it is young, has its traditions that are so wonderfully done, that makes us proud in a good sense. Tonight, Lord, we thank you for all of the prayers that have gone up, and I'm sure that the people who are here right now can see the difference that praying without ceasing makes. help them to continue to do so, because if they stop, the devil will pounce. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins. And Lord, fill everybody in this room with the power of your Holy Spirit to pray without ceasing, even during this service, for the lost souls who need to be saved, for Christians who need to be revived. I'm afraid some will pray and thank you for the food that they're about to partake of way before it's time. But Lord, help them to pray. Help all of us to pray. And help us to get our minds on you and to keep our minds on you. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness and sin. And Lord, help us to live as your servant, as our Savior and your Son lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for a man who lived a good life by everybody's estimation and report, and especially his family, who have said that for years. And Lord, help us all to live a life like that, with you empowering us by the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, to do right, to act right, and to do that which is pleasing in your sight. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, and his demons and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness, Lord, from us tonight and from us forever. And surround us with a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. Place, Lord, upon us the whole arm of God. Give us sweet victory, as always, over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the demons of hell. As by your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I continue to preach your holy gospel each and every day, as you called me to do 40 years ago. And Lord, we pray that lost souls would be saved, Christians would be revived and encouraged to keep on keeping on for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. How to live a kinder, gentler life like former President George H.W. Bush. And when you think about it, when you think of a president of the United States, as far as his resume is concerned, at least, and as far as his character is concerned, and as far as his family is concerned, wasn't it beautiful to see not a perfect family today, but a functional family, a productive family, a family that did not have, that does not have a whole lot of scandal, a family where most marriages are intact, and the grandchildren and the children come from the marriages. It was just a beautiful thing, people. You can say negative things if you want, but it was a beautiful sight. And so the simple title of this message tonight, in honor of God and of his servant, of his minister, because you do know that people who serve as president in governmental positions are ministers as well. How to live a kinder, gentler life, and how to pray for the good and faithful saints that you don't even know, part 9. Praying through the Bible, message number 328. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you, to challenge you, to motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible. To pray to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 327 messages in this series. This is message number 328. This is not every day. This is every Wednesday for the past over 5 years or so. Titled, How to Pray for the Good and Faithful Saints That You Don't Even Know, with a twist tonight. And in addition, How to Live a Kinder, Gentler Life, like President George H.W. Bush. Ladies and gentlemen, the state funeral for former President George H.W. Bush was held today. And what a beautiful, powerful homegoing it was. By all accounts, former President George H.W. Bush was a good man. He was soft-spoken compared to many about his faith, but he lived it out in his daily life by being a kind, gentle soul. Author Doug Meacham, in his biography on Bush, reported that the former president once was asked if he was born again. Bush replied, "If by born again one is asking, do you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then I could answer a clean cut yes. Amen, somebody." And I am just taken away and blown away by the story about James Baker, his former Secretary of State, walking into his death room the other night, while he was on the deathbed. And some of you, I'm sad to say, you may not know about having a Ace Boone Coon. That is a friend that is down with you in the good days and in the bad days. I mean, and you'll be amazed at where these friends come from. And that's what happened with these two brothers, two Christian brothers, who have scaled the heights of the world together. I'm bringing that up because he was on his deathbed, but when a friend like Brother James Baker comes in, even when you're getting ready to check out, it wakes you up. And that old smile comes on your face. And former President George H.W. Bush on his deathbed said, "Hey, James, where are we going?" you don't understand that unless you have an Ace Boone Coon. "Where are you?" Because they both know you're not going anywhere physically. Where are we going, man?" You know, they used to go on out, eat dinner, and go fishing, you know, and story was told. You know, these were Ace Boone Coon. One day he was in the hospital. President was in the hospital, and James Bush went by to cheer him up and brought a bottle of vodka, snuck it into the hospital. The man is in the hospital already sick. And that's what Ace Boone Goon would do for you. And so they were like that. They knew everything about each other, and they still loved each other. But this will go down into the history books. This will never be forgotten. It will be preached on and mentioned in pulpits for years to come. President George H.W. Bush greeted his friend on his deathbed, said, "James, where are we going, man?" Like they've said many times, he said many times before. And James Baker, the former Secretary of State, said, "We're going to heaven, George, we're going to heaven." I said, "All right now, I like that real good." Being an evangelist, oh man, I love it, I love it. I can preach that for days. I can preach on that for days. But be that as it may, I have a question for you that I've never thought about until today. Did former President George H.W. Bush, who was not necessarily considered an evangelical Christian, being from the Episcopal Church, did he live out Christ-likeness better than many so-called Christian evangelicals of today? At one point, some people considered President George H.W. Bush to be a wimp. He was so kind, so humble, so meek, so loving, so gentle. In fact, it was blazed across Newsweek magazine when Newsweek was one of the top magazines in the country. But as we will see from this passage tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you need strength to be a kinder, gentler soul and live a kinder, gentler life so that we might indeed have a kinder, gentler nation. As several people brought out earlier today. And so, ladies and gentlemen, over the past few messages, we have looked at the specific things that Paul prayed to God about for the believers in Colossae. He prayed for them, number one, to have the knowledge of God's will, which I brought out to you is extremely important. And the sooner you can get a hold of that, the better off your life will be. And may God bless you real good if you had parents to help you get a hold of that. And God has blessed you if you have parents like that. Number two, to walk worthy of their salvation. Do we walk worthy of the salvation that God has wrought through our Savior, His Son, Jesus Christ? Number three, to be fruitful in every good work. Are you fruitful in your life? Or are you caught up in your own little ball, your own little self, and you don't bear fruit? You're not even getting the low-lying fruit, such as being kind, gentle, humble, loving towards all people. Number four, to increase in the knowledge of God. Please understand, however, if you don't become fruitful and know God's will, and you don't learn to be obedient, you won't gain much knowledge of God. I can assure you that, my dearly beloved. Contrary, some people think they can get the knowledge of God by reading a whole bunch of books on God. That's why we have so many Christians buying books all the time. You don't get it that way. You got to do what you have learned first before you get the real deep knowledge of God. He's not going to give it to you until you learn how to be obedient. And so I touched on that. And fifth, that they would be strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in verse 11, Paul extends this prayer request, asking that the Colossian believers would be strengthened unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, among the few concepts that we can grasp in our feeble human minds is the concept of strength and might. Because of our sinful flesh, so many of us are messed up in that regard. We understand the importance of being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We understand operating from a position of strength when it comes to spiritual warfare and physical warfare. We get that. We understand that. What we often miss, however, is the concept that it also takes strength and might to carry out what President George H.W. Bush would call the kinder and gentler aspects of the Christian walk. It takes Christ. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes obeying the Word of God. These things such as long-suffering, joyfulness, patience, love. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. published a collection of sermons in 1963 titled Strength to Love. Strength to Love. It takes strength to love people. Many commented today how much love and patience and grace it took for former President George H.W. Bush and for former President George W. Bush to gladly and cheerfully invite the man who took over the Bush Republican Party, not only won the presidency by calling, as a part of it, one of the things he did was calling George W. Bush's brother, Jeb Bush, and H.W. Bush's son, Jeb Bush, not a wimp, but he was low energy. He just whipped him. He just, President Trump just put a whipping on him, put a hurting on him on the campaign trail. There's no doubt about it. And totally made him look weak. And did it with relish. And the former Bush party turned against the Bushes, basically. But Dr. Martin Luther King talked about strength to love. And what class President George H.W. Bush and President George Bush showed by inviting this man, President Trump, to this funeral. For you understand, when it comes down to funerals, you're not obligated to invite anybody. In fact, with most funerals, official funerals, private funerals, they call them, for great people, you can't go to the funeral. If you're not invited, you can't go. But what grace, what class, what strength to love did President George H.W. Bush show the current president by demanding that he be invited? With people right beside him who didn't even want to speak to him. It is told that Hillary Clinton, who President Trump defeated, all the networks took notice, and this is very childish, quite frankly. No class. Didn't even look at the current president when he walked in with his wife. Just kept looking straight ahead. And had Bill under control as well so that he wouldn't look. I think she leaned over and said, "You look if you want to. You'll be sleeping in the doghouse tonight." But what I am pleased with, thank God, and I hope that she goes back on this statement, because I said this before and I'll say it again, it was childish for Michelle Obama to say she would never forgive this president. Without being rigid, I was glad both former President Obama and it took some effort for Michelle Obama, the former first lady, to reach over and shake the current president's hand. They showed class, because this is a man who just defeated them in the sense that Hillary was his hand-picked successor. I'm proud of Michelle, because she wrote in her now famous book, I would never forgive him, but she reached out her hand. If she had not done so, Trump would not have reached out his, I can assure you. That shows a kinder, gentler situation. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it takes strength to love our enemies. It takes strength to love somebody and to reach out to them and say, because we're one country, we have one president, no matter how it went down, even though you have taken away my legacy, even though you have taken away my party, I still love you and I respect you as our president. It takes strength to love. That's the kind of man H.W. was. Amen, somebody. Unlike McCain. See, listen to me very carefully. These people who are so bitter and so resentful, who demand that certain people of stature not to come to your funeral and you're dead, that's a lot of pride. That's a lot of arrogancy and hatred and unforgiveness. Thank God for former President H.W. Bush, who showed Christian class. Amen, somebody. And so, ladies and gentlemen, regarding the book Strength to Love, by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., another great man who was made great by God because he showed Christ-like love. That's the power. That's where the power is, when you can show Christ-like love. When you're falsely accused, amen, somebody. When you're falsely accused, when somebody they know you, they're lying on you, and you know they're lying on you, and God knows they're lying on you, and accusing you and trying to provoke you, and you just go ahead on and say and show how much you love them anyhow, and you let it go. You let it be. As the Beatles used to sing, let it be, let it be, let it be, oh, let it be. Let me whisper some words of wisdom. Let it be. You'll come out the winner every time. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said it takes strength to love your enemies, to love people who spit in your face, to love people who throw rocks at you and then hide their hand. Then you got some who throw rocks at you and the hand is still in the throwing motion. To love people who would rather see you die, to love people who would rather see you disappear and you've never done anything to them. That takes Christian class, my beloved. To love a spouse who has done nothing to help you, has done everything to try to hinder you in your calling, but to love that spouse and to stay with them anyhow. To show Christian class. And you just let it be. Let it be. In one of the messages in that famous book, Strength to Love, he said, the greatness of our God lies in the fact that he is both tough-minded and at the same time tender-hearted. See, this is where people just don't understand it. They think everybody's got to be one way. And that's just not, that's not how we are as even humans. God, who made us, is not that way. Some think that God is just a God of wrath and punishment, and some think that God is all love and dovey. Everything's lovey-dovey, you can do anything. No, it doesn't work that way. Back to the book, Dr. Martin Luther King said, God expresses his tough-mindedness in his justice, his judgment, and his wrath against God's people for sin, against people for sin and evil, rebelliousness, foolishness, and stubbornness, and his tender-heartedness in his love and in his grace, end of quote. Strength to love. Showing love, grace, and tenderness does not detract from God's might or strength. Just know, now, if you cross God and you disobey God, he still loves you, but he loves you so much that he would chastise you. I would not give you 2 cents for a father who lets his son and his daughter just do whatever they want to do, living in their house. That's not love. That's foolishness. Because love will do what is necessary to stop that child from doing evil and drilling a hole on the other end of the boat, if you will. In fact, it shows his might, God's might and strength, even more. It is easy for us to think that being patient and kind and gentle and long-suffering is a sign of weakness, particularly in America. We have turned into a bunch of rah-rah people, haven't we? Here's a grown man, a grown black man who knows better, raised in church. Was the Attorney General of the United States of America. Said, no. Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. No. He changed that. No. Grown man. Old man. I believe he has grandchildren. He knows better. It's not even him. It's not even It's not even his makeup. Lord forgive me for what I'm getting ready to say, because he even looks like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I love everybody. I ain't mad at nobody. I love him. I'm sure a decent man. He said, no. It's not even him. I don't think he ever said anything that like that in his life. No. We kick him. I just started laughing. See, it don't even sound right saying it. We're a rah-rah nation now, aren't we? Everybody wants to fight. Everybody is angry. Can you imagine former President George H.W. Bush out there as terrible of a president Bill Clinton was, interrupting his dinner? You need to resign. You need to quit. Rah, rah. And by the way, he was at the funeral of the day. And considered a son. Now you talk about Christ-like love. Not only did H.W. consider him a son, the president, his son, George W. Bush, said that he was a son of another mother. He's our brother. Now that's love for you. Because not only did H.W. Bush accept him as a son and loved him as a son, because he never had a father, but he left the presidency with a cloud, and George H.W. Bush knew that was going to happen, because he knew the guy did not have the kind of character that is needed for the presidency. But instead of saying, see, I told you so, told you, y'all should have voted for me. No, he accepted them, and he helped this man get rehabilitated, if you will, in the eyes of the nation. To me, that's Christ-like love. And he did that for several people. He even did it for his son. Out of all of the children, everybody knows it, it's famous now, the son named after him gave him the most problems. George W. Bush. And some of you don't remember this, but George H.W. Bush was not pleased, and he said so with some of the things that George W. Bush was doing. And there was a time where there was something, he called him a few names, and they had the silent treatment going on and everything else. At the same time, he was proud of his son and loved his son, but he didn't want his son to mess up. And guess what else he didn't want his son to do? He didn't want his son to do things in such a way that he would end up like his father and not get a second term. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it is easy for us to think that being patient, loving, forgiving, and forgetting, long-suffering, is a sign of weakness. But it is exactly these virtues that the devil wants to hinder in our lives. The ability to have a soft answer when somebody else is in a rage, when you know they are trying to set you up for a fall, trying to set you up to get rid of you somehow. Having that ability to just have a soft answer and let it go. When you know folks are trying to provoke you to say certain things and do certain things. When the Berlin Wall came tumbling down and the Soviet Union came crumbling down, many of his advisors went to him and tempted him and tried to push him to go over there and dance on the wall and to just rub it in. But President George H.W. Bush did not yield to that temptation. He asked him, so what do y'all want me to do? Go dance on the wall? He said, no, I'm not going to do that. Put my finger in the eye of my Russian partner who helped to bring this to an end and causing us to win the Cold War without shooting a shot. I'm not going to do it. Pray and ask God to give you a Christ-like spirit, a kinder, gentler spirit and mind and heart. That's what Paul is praying for here for the saints at Colossae. It is the non-practice of these small, seemingly insignificant attributes that contributes to stymied spiritual growth and a lack of spiritual fruit in our lives. Why is it that you feel like you always have to talk back? Let's bring it home to the wife when you know your husband is the authority figure. Why can't you keep your mouth shut and stop being a nag? Stop keeping the family in consternation by running off at the mouth. Why is it, teenager, you can't do what your parents tell you to do when you know that's what God wants you to do? Why is it, husband and father, the people have blessed you to have a job, God has blessed you to have a job, and God has touched the hearts of people to give you a job, and yet you want to tell the people how to run their business instead of do your job? Why you always have something to say and you in response to what the boss is telling you, instead of just saying yes sir and go get the job done? I was thinking about that the other night. I have a better way of doing that now. I can sit down right here and I can just push this cart over there and put everything in this cart, and then one of the electrical cars that I can drive, and I can put it over. No, that's not how we've done it over the past 30 years. We'd rather for you to walk over there and carry the big box over there where we told you. Okay. I just thought it might be a better idea. No, that's a better idea for you. Everybody else walks. They lift the box up and they put it up there. You always have a new idea and you're going to end up with a new job too, because they're going to get rid of you. And so, ladies and gentlemen, and that is why we need the Lord's strength to do these simple things, to love people, to be patient, to be tender-hearted, and at the same time to be firm when necessary, with long-suffering. It takes God's strength to be patient and long-suffering with troublesome family members, co-workers, fellow church members, and neighbors. One of the sad things that people forget, we want to think other people are perfect, and so we expect them to respond in perfect ways, and that's just not how it is, people. Everybody's a sinner. And you need strength to love sinners. And you need extra strength to love sinners in your own family. I have said this before, and I'll say it again to you. If you don't have anything like the gospel to share with other people, you don't have something to encourage them in the Lord, seriously, leave people alone and let it be, particularly in this day and time. If somebody is pressing down on you on the highway and for, you don't know what is the problem, you know, and they ride on your tail and you got to bump your lights and try to get them off your tail. They don't back up. They come closer. You need to pull off the road, as I did on yesterday. Because there's a devil loose, and there are people who are angry about all kinds of things, and they'll take out their anger on you. They'll come out the car, bootlegging a gun on their side. You jump out your car, and you're shot, and you're dead for nothing. Let it go. Let it be. Many black people need to learn how to... racism has been in this country for centuries. And it's still here, and it's not going to go away because we're all sinners. And up here marching and fighting and raising hell and burning down buildings and all that, that's not going to get it. You need strength to love other people who are different than you are. And you need to act like Martin Luther King Jr. and be nonviolent and just let it go. And live like Jesus told us to live. When they slap you on your right cheek, offer your left. Now, most Negroes are not going to do that, but that's what you need to do. Let it go. God seeth. God knows what's going on behind the scenes. You say, well, preacher, they're trying to set me up to get me off the job, and they were real nice to me in the beginning, but now they're trying to set me up. They're trying to provoke me. Well, you know they're doing that, so don't be provoked. Do things in a loving and kind fashion, and let it be, and let it go, and go on, and pray. Pray for the people. Strength to pray. How about that? That's what this message is all about, prayer. That's what this series is all about, prayer. Have you prayed about the situation? I told some folks the other day, I was preaching. And we hear a whole lot about racial reconciliation in the church. Why is the 11 o'clock hour still the most racially divided hour in America, even though Martin Luther King Jr. died many years ago? There are many reasons, but I believe the main reason is we have a whole bunch of preachers who like to grandstand and like to swap pulpits for one day and so forth and so on and have dinner together and coffee together, but ain't nobody praying. Excuse the English, but ain't nobody praying. When was the last time you prayed for white folks, black pastor? When was the last time you prayed for the black church down the street, white pastor? You haven't prayed. You just like to talk every now and then when it's when an issue happens, a black and white issue happens and so forth. And it's happening more and more, and it's going to continue to happen until there's a civil war. If somebody does not learn how to get some strength to love somebody. And God's going to continue to judge this nation because of our wickedness, our evil, our sin, our always wanting to fight, always want to do battle, always wanting to prove myself right. That's why many marriages and families are destroyed today. I was reading from Jeremiah today. God judged the people, the Israelites. He says that... it's going to be so bad that the people are not even going to be buried. They're going to be like dung on the ground. My soul, their body is just... See, God does not play. He's very patient, very loving.
See, well, yeah, but you're talking about George W. Bush. Yeah, he was a wimp. Yeah, I saw that article. I believed it, too. And so I tell you one thing, he was not, Saddam Hussein didn't think he was a wimp, I can tell you that. His name is Saddam, but for some reason I believe President George H.W. Bush did it on purpose. Now he did have some speech issues and little mix-ups in the past, but I believe he did it because he kept saying it. I know this advisor's name, sir, his name is Saddam. Yeah, but I'm going to call him Saddam. Just to mess with him. I can see Saddam saying, I see mispronouncing my name. I hate that. It's a psychological warfare. I assure you, Saddam Hussein didn't think that George W. H.W. Bush was a wimp. In fact, the world has never seen a war go so crisply and so quickly and so powerfully. The world has never seen a president gather allies like that, even in the region. So just because you are a kind, gentle person does not mean you cannot bring the heat when it's necessary to bring the heat. And we know God is that way. God is very loving and very gracious and very patient with us. But when he gets tired, because see, the Bible says God does not always strive with, he's not going to always strive with man now. Okay? You can push God too far. And when he lays the boom down on you, you will know it is God. It's not a trial. It's not a tribulation that you're going through. These lies we tell each other. God is chastising you. God is dealing with you, judging you for your evil. And right now, you may not like it. You can like it or not. I can care less. God is lovingly and mercifully dismantling America as I speak. Judgment has come to America. The loving God who has blessed this country more than any country in the history of the world outside of Israel. Judgment has come. You say, what are we going to do? You better start praying. You better start confessing your sins. You better start repenting of your sins. You better stop your adultery. You need to let go of your little boyfriend on the side, your little girlfriend on the side. You need to stop your fornication, all of you millennials. Committing fornication right after church on Sunday, calling it Sunday sex. You need to stop your drunkenness. You need to stop your fornication, your homosexuality, your porn watching. You need to confess your sins. You need to repent. You need to turn from your evil ways. That's the only way America will be spared. We have enemies today who can drop a dime on us, if you will, and will do so right tonight. And I believe they're planning to do so. I predicted it. You can get the tape 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember the exact date. That if America does not confess her sins and repent and turn from our evil ways, especially in the church, we're going to hear from Russia, we're going to hear from China, and we're going to hear from Iran in a violent way. And it's being set up today. If you watched the news today, you can see where it's going to start. And this can break off and break out at any moment. And maybe even North Korea might be in the group. I said it 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, and America has not repented. And we're going to find ourselves in a mess if we don't repent. If we don't pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves. And so let me encourage you. If you can, you might need to get yourself a RV. You need to stack up some foods, and you need to get ready because you might have to move in a hurry. In closing, ladies and gentlemen, it takes God's strength to be loving, to be patient, and not lash out in anger
and wrath in frustration during the various storms of life. We need God's strength to love people who in our minds are unlovable, and let it be. And we can gain God's strength to do all these things through prayer. And that's the only way you're going to get God's strength, through prayer and reading His holy word. That's it. So I don't feel like praying. That's all right. Just pray anyhow, because that's your only hope. Only God can help you now, my dear friend. I've been saying it for many years. Only God can help you, sir, ma'am. Only God. There's not a doctor. There's not a lawyer. There's not a psychologist that can help you like God. Elvina M. Hall said, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for all of it is due your holy name. My heart was so blessed watching the homegoing of President George H.W. Bush today, not because of him, but because of how people, even the secular-minded people in the crowd, had to give you honor and praise and had to subject themselves to others giving you honor and praise. And Lord, I must say, the Episcopal Church there did a fantastic job. And we give you the glory, the praise, and honor for allowing us to still live in a country where every now and then they have to recognize you in a big way. And Lord, help us to live in a country where they recognize you every day. Have mercy and grace upon us all, and for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins of prayerlessness and not praying for others we don't even know. Not showing forth the love and the grace and the patience and the long-suffering and the kindness that we should be showing. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that as Christians. Save lost people to do that as Christians as well. Comfort the Bush family tonight as only you can. They did a fantastic job. Thank you, Lord, for blessing them to have a good family. And we pray that they would, that others, thousands and millions of other families around the world, will understand the blessing and the power of a good family lined up upon your word. And help us, Lord, to be a kinder, gentler people by the power of your grace, your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit and Holy Word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us tonight and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner just as I am and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Even though George H.W. Bush lived a good life, he was not a perfect man. He was a sinner like the rest of us, and so he had to die. God blessed him with a good long life, but he still had to die. He died because of his sins, like his wife did, and all of us must die. Billy Graham had to die. He lived a great life by God's grace, but he had to die. Why? Because he is a sinner. He was a sinner, just like the rest of us. And the body goes to the grave. Tomorrow, we will witness that for George H.W. Bush. But the soul will either go to heaven or hell. Many believe that, we don't know, but many believe that George H.W. Bush is in heaven with his wife and with his young baby daughter who died so many years ago, but who was in his heart still at 94. But many people who don't trust Christ, and the only reason why he went to heaven is because he trusted Christ as Savior, as I showed you. But many people go to hell. Why? Because they don't trust Christ as Savior. So you must understand, beloved, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. Where do you think people who murder people, rape people, steal from people, where do you think people go when they hijack planes and cars and kill people, murder people by the hundreds and thousands? They're going to hell, people. They can't go to heaven. And God's not going to let them off the hook to just die and that's it. It doesn't work that way. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you tonight. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," his only begotten Son, the Son's name is Jesus Christ. He was speaking about himself. "That whosoever," that means you and me, black and white, red and yellow, "believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Trust Christ as your Savior today. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou you shall be saved." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him in heaven. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust in Christ tonight so that you can go to heaven, like so many believe H.W. Bush did, through faith in Christ. Believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. For he is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. He took care of the sin problem by shedding his precious blood, suffering and dying on the cross for our sins as the Lamb of God. He was buried and rose again on the third day, so he still liveth to hear us pray to him and ask him to come into our hearts to save our wretched souls. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer if you're willing to believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your 10 commandments by lying, by stealing, by lusting after things and people, by dishonoring my parents, disobeying my parents, taking your holy name in vain, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe in the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, being the sacrificial Lamb of God who has taken away all of my sins, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God found in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven by the grace of God through faith in Christ. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life, and that is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer.